Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. In some respects, I think today's gospel seems a little unfair. At least I used to think so when I was younger. It didn't seem right that Mary gets to listen and Martha has to do all the work, even if that is what they each chose at the beginning of Jesus' visit. Maybe I think this way because I am more like a Martha, but I would like to also be the one in the room and learn more. Something says to me, the Lord is here for dinner. If we all sit around and listen, then Jesus says, "What's for dinner?" And we all shrug. "Oh, dinner, we forgot to prepare anything. Jesus, your words are so great, we didn't cook anything to feed you." There's a deep message of hospitality which runs through the readings today. I ask you to consider the classic icon of Andrei Rublev from the 15th century. I put one right here in case you want to look at it after Mass. It's titled The Blessed Trinity. It depicts three angels actually sitting around a table. It is the icon of the moment that the visitation of God happened to Abraham and Sarah. And it gives us an account of the necessary response of hospitality. An interesting note, I don't know if you've ever noticed, whenever the text speaks of the three visitors, it is always the three men. But whenever Abraham addresses them, he addresses them in the singular, "Sir." One God in three persons, right? They appear at Abraham's tent in the middle of nowhere. Abraham is the host. Like Mary, he takes care of all the conversation. So much so that later in the story, after an entire steer has been slaughtered and cooked, they must have been there for a while, right? They ask if Sarah is around. She's off preparing sourdough rolls. Abraham has his people preparing the steer, and he serves the three visitors steak and cheese and rolls, apparently. By all accounts, Abraham prepares a feast for them. And his hospitality is richly rewarded. They tell them that Sarah will have a child within the year. So let's put this account into context in the story from the Bible. They were really old. In their 90s, it is thought. I'm 63, and people my age generally don't start families. Abraham and Sarah are much, much older. Yet God had made the promise to Abraham of descendants as numerous as the stars. Have you seen these recent photos that come from NASA's new space telescope, which represents a portion of the sky maybe the size of a grain of sand from our perspective? It contains universes of galaxies. So anyway, God's saying a lot of descendants. Abraham and Sarah were well up in years, and it just wasn't likely. And after the miraculous child is born and old enough to carry the wood for a Holocaust fire, God calls on Abraham to witness his faith by even sacrificing this miracle child. Of course, God intervenes, and in Abraham's faithfulness, the covenant is sealed. In the gospel today, we see another visitation of God, this time to the house of Lazarus, Jesus' friend, and his daughters, Martha and Mary. Proper hospitality seen here shows that the visit requires both those who are attentive as well as those who serve. He is at home with his friends. They are both caring for him, receiving what he is to give. But this story became really kind of interesting, more interesting to me when I spent my time as a missionary in the Dominican Republic. Because when people would prepare meals for you, you would come and they would have little tiny houses, sometimes if maybe a cement floor, if they had money to put a cement floor, thatch ceilings, maybe zinc, if they had money for zinc, and then kind of mud and straw walls that were painted nicely. And you would come in and there would be a table and chairs, and you would sit and visit with the man of the house and any friends that he had over. But it became really obvious to me right away that the men were the only ones in that room. There was a detached kitchen. In case it caught on fire, it doesn't burn down the house. So the women were outside preparing the meal. It was very unusual, I think, for Mary to have that kind of insistence that she was going to sit there at the feet of Jesus and listen, because that's not the place women were. Well, does that make Mary a slacker? No, I don't think so. In our tradition, spirituality is both contemplative and active. Vocations in our tradition focus on both the inner life and public ministry, and most of us are called to do both. Certainly, Jesus must have visited often, at least more than once. Maybe the next time Martha speaks up and reminds Mary that the last time she got to sit and listen, perhaps it's her turn and Mary can stay in the kitchen this time. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews reminds us not to be forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. In these instances, and how many others in your lives can you count, that God himself has been present to you, not only in sacrament, but also in the daily events of life, in each other. Hospitality is an essential part, both in the sacramental life, as well as our lives as servant leaders in our families and our social circles. We are united by what we do together. Isn't it true that the church is truly alive when in our outreach to each other, especially to strangers, that in the encounter it is Christ that we discover in them, and it is Christ that they discover in us? In this dialogue of words and actions of the mystical body of Christ, who we are, it is Christ who serves and Christ who is served. It is Christ who is known and Christ who is made known.